Hi, I'm Reagan, and thanks for listening to my dad's podcast, Lasting Learning.
Welcome to Lasting Learning, the podcast that was started because I thought I had things to say. The podcast that continues to grow because we've learned that your stories matter more. Welcome to Lasting Learning, where we explore great people doing extraordinary things, sharing with us the lasting lessons they've learned along the way. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Lasting Learning Podcast. Today is a special treat for me and hopefully for all of you as well. It is extremely rare that I bring a guest back for a second time on this show because I want to try to introduce the world to new people. I want to try to expose people that have overcome amazing obstacles, that have transformed themselves, that have continued to redefine who they are or to finally find who they are. I try to bring people on that show us these lasting learning lessons. Well, today we've got somebody that first appeared on the show almost 3 years ago. We brought her on because she had overcome a lot. She defined herself as drunk and broke, but then overcoming it all. And yet over the last 3 years, she's continued to redefine who she is. Back on episode 170, she had so much wisdom, so much truth, and she was speaking all the right words, but now she's living those words as well. So I thought it was only appropriate to bring her on because this show is not just about defining those moments in time where a change happened, but reminding us that change is a constant process and that nobody has gotten there yet, but we're constantly getting closer. And our guest today is as close to it as we're going to find. So Amber Miller, thank you so much for coming back on this show almost 3 years later. This is exciting.
Thank you so much, Dave. Like, I just need you to be my hype guy in the morning, every morning when I wake up, to introduce me to the world like that. Like, then there would be zero low days of waking up with low vibes, you know?
And you know what you can do, Amber? You can just listen to this podcast on repeat. I mean, that's not going to do it. I'll take it. I mean, I'm always looking for anything I can do to get download numbers. So if it's just you downloading it and listening every single day, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Do what you got to do.
That is what we'll do. And I really loved about your intro there. Okay, I'm going to want to edit that out.
You're good.
Okay. What I love, Dave, about how you introduced me is that I'm still continuing to come up with new versions of myself. And that's really what I want to drive home because so much has changed in the last 3 years. And I'll take you back to when Amber was a little girl and I was a very kind girl. I wanted to help people. My dream job for as long as I could remember was wanting to be a teacher and, you know, educate other people. And I was always that girl that when those late night commercials came on with Sarah McLachlan and the dogs or, you know, the needy children down in Honduras, like I wanted to be helping the people in the pets that were in need, except for I didn't even notice at that age that I was somebody that could use help. And so throughout my years, you know, in childhood, we all have our traumas. And my trauma as I got older was drinking. But that's not really the trauma, but that's how I dealt with my trauma. And so I was 16 years old when I started drinking. When I was 22 years old, my mom passed away from drinking. And I remember when I left Green Bay thinking there needs to be more resources for people. There needs to be more access for people. And I thought somebody else needs to change the system. Somebody else should go out there and do that. But I always thought it was somebody else. So for 11 years, I spent my time blaming everybody else and being a victim to the system. And then one day I realized that, oh, I'm the person that is supposed to change. Like, I'm the person that is supposed to change me on the inside. And then I'm supposed to go out there and do this work for other people. And so that's kind of where I have landed today is I am now working through my own things. And then I'm turning around and sharing it with the world, being vulnerable and telling other people that they can change their identities too.
Oh, good. So good. So I'm going to respond to that. First of all, I'm going to tell you, we are not editing that out, because I think that is like it's a perfect example of who you are and what we're talking about here, right? Yeah. That it's not this perfect trajectory where everything goes exactly as we want it. We have it all scripted out and everything's just going to work. We're going to leave that in there and let people judge this for what it is. So be ready. I know you're like, but please, no, we're keeping that in, because it's real.
I love that.
It's authentic. It's who you are. It's who we are. It's truly this conversation. We're not going to, because in life, we can't go back and hit the edit button. We can't go back and change what's been done and what's been said. We can only move forward and say, how do we take this and make the best out of it? So I hope that's okay. If not, whatever, we can talk afterwards. So if I did go back and edit this and people are like, what are you talking about, Dave? What did you leave it? Whatever. We'll move on. But I want to unpack the story for people that might not have listened to episode 170. And if you're driving your car right now, write on your hand right now to go back and listen to episode 170, because we go into a lot of depth about some of that trauma. I'll just call it trauma that you experienced starting drinking in your teenage years, where you weren't just dabbling with Boone's Farm and Bartles and James. I mean, you were drinking.
Yeah.
And got yourself to the place where in your 20s, you hit rock bottom. No money, but enough money to continue to consume alcohol. Mm-hmm. Then you end up becoming a mom, and like life is just piling up on you. And you were in this extremely dark place, but made a commitment to start climbing out of that dark place. And now you've shifted from that darkness to really being this light that is not just saying the things and singing kumbaya and or just putting on a front and a show. You are truly living in this place right now of complete joy. It's not just happiness. It is joy, where it's coming from the inside out. No matter the circumstances, you are this optimist, because you believe that you can overcome just about anything. So I want to talk about that piece. You talk about the system. You said that you were in this place of constant blame, where it was always somebody else's fault, whether it's what happened to your mom or what was going on with you. I think we've all been there. And you know this, the primary audience for the show tends to be teachers. There's a lot of educators that listen to the show, and there are a lot of other people out there as well. But I speak primarily to educators in my day job. Yep. And this belief of blaming the system, blaming the man, blaming somebody else is prevalent. I would do this if somebody would let me. I would do this if the system allowed me. It's the system's fault that X, Y, Z isn't happening. And a lot of our personal lives, we experience the same thing. As we're sharing this, we are right. We're coming up on the new year. And a lot of people will be making resolutions. Or some people would say, I can't make resolutions because there are so many things I can't control, blah, 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 blah. And we have all the excuses in the world why our lives aren't perfect. So Amber, I want you to just speak directly to me, speak directly to others. Our lives aren't perfect. We can't overcome things. There are so many things are outside of our controls. We just have to deal with life and roll with the punches and survive until the day we die, right? Isn't that what it's all about? Just survive until you die.
Yeah. So I love that we are touching on this, because it's not about the destination. It's not about what things are supposed to look like. And so we spend so much time, you know, living in the past and worrying about the future and trying to control that future. And that whole word control is when we try and control things, it's like, we don't realize that there's this whole world out there that is also got their own lives going on and their own perspectives. And so when we learn to embrace the hard things that happen to us and quit asking why, but why is this happening for me? And so I'm going to give you a little story here. This past summer, we spent 5 months living in a campground and managing it. Mm-hmm. And this campground is actually owned by the county. And so what happened was, is throughout this hiring process is that there were red flags along the way. And I didn't really question those red flags because my ego wanted to run this campground. And so I kept brushing them aside, even though my intuition was like, you know, ask questions, what's going on here? Well, it came to find out that after we were hired, that there were certain public officials that were trying to manipulate the hiring system and get somebody else hired. And so it ended up affecting our contract. But when I found that out afterwards, I was filled with more rage than I have been in years. Like, it put me into such a dark place mentally because somebody was deliberately acting in the opposite way that I act.
Yeah.
Except, and so I sat there with this, and so I had to sit there with all of this rage inside of me. And I wanted to lash out. My ego wanted to go right up there and start blaming everybody. But I sat back with it. And I was like, what is the lesson in this, right? And so a couple of months went by and I was like, okay, lesson number one, I ignored my intuition the entire time when I knew that there was something happening. And so what was the second lesson in that? Am I going to stand in my values and in integrity and do something about it? Even though we had already gotten the position and that was done and over, was I going to call the county out on their BS? And so I had to spend the entire summer thinking, okay, is this coming from a place of ego where I want revenge and I want to blame other people? Or is this coming from a place of spirit where I'm going to stand in my values and help create the world that I want my kids to live in? And so I had to sit through this with the summer, and I had all of the evidence and I had all of the intellect to put all this together. And as I talked with other people in the counties, I found out that this is not an isolated incident, mm-hmm. that of course this is happening everywhere. And I also found out that the majority of the people that worked at the county knew that this was happening. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, so everybody knew this was happening, but nobody said anything. I guess I've got to be the messenger. And so I spent 5 months putting together this case. And at the end of the season, where I could finally go in and calmly say what I needed to say instead of lashing out, they have now opened up an investigation into this, and it's ongoing at this point. But I had to really, you know, my ego really wanted that, and I had to dive into that. And so it's, when those things happen to us, we can't sit here and be like, oh, this happened to me, I'm a victim. Like, we have to do the work. Like, those are that's part of the journey. It's how we grow. It's literally the way. Mm-hmm. And so I don't look at those things that happened to me anymore as woe is me. It's good. Okay, how am I going to grow from this?
So looking back on it now, I can see that, where you can say, yeah, mm-hmm. it was good. Going through it, though, I have a hard time imagining anybody waking up being like, oh, this is good. I'm going to learn a lesson from this, unless you're just a way better person than I am. Because I remember when you first started posting about getting the position and how excited you were. It was almost like it was fate, and this was that thing that you'd been looking for that you didn't know that you were looking for, and it's this new chapter. And then to find out that all this nastiness was going on in the background, right? I love to read memoirs. I love to read stories of other people's lives, not so that I can be like voyeuristic and learn what's happening in their lives, but because I can personalize it and say, ooh, where's something similar that has happened in my life and how would I have reacted in that? And so I'm listening to your story and I'm personalizing it, where I've been in situations where I've worked with other people and thought this is amazing. And on the outside, everybody thinks this is an incredible thing. You're traveling, you're talking a lot to people, shaking hands, kissing babies, like doing all the things. But internally, there's some mess going on until it all falls apart. And when it all falls apart, there's this tendency to say, I am a victim. And then there's this vengeance seeking that I go through where I have to let the world know what went wrong. I have to let the world know it wasn't me, it was them. And there's this angel and devil that sit on my shoulder constantly as I wrestle with, do I expose it? Or if I expose it, is it just for my own pride and arrogance and ego? Or am I doing it to try to protect the next person from it not happening to them? And I can rationalize and justify either action, right? I'm curious, how did you come to that place where you said, okay, I have to come clean. I have to expose this because it's for the good, not just for your own ego, not just to edify you, but because it was necessary for the system to get better.
Yeah. So really it came down to, there was nothing for me to gain or lose from this. We were going to be done running the campground at the end of the season. If we didn't run it again in 2024, it's no sweat off of our back. We're going to figure out a way to make money. It really came down to all of the signs along the way. There were just so many things that fell into place. And this in no way was in the vision for my life. I have no idea how this fits into the grand scheme of things. But every single night, and to your point of, you know, waking up and being like, what is the lesson? I went through such a process this summer of pretending that everything is okay when in the background things were happening. And I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. And actually, there was a day that somebody asked me what my address was, and I couldn't remember what my address was. And I had to get out my driver's license. And at that point, I had to take a step back because it was consuming me. And that's not who I am. And so I knew that I needed to put space between myself and what had happened. And so that's what I did. And so I did the things that I knew to take care of myself. I started taking that space and exercising and being around people. And so how did I know that this is the thing that I needed to do? When I laid my head down at night, I have to be proud of the person that I am. And ever since I quit drinking, standing in integrity that I do the things I say I'm going to do is who I am, because that's who I want my children to be. I want them to be brave enough to stand up when it's wrong. And the morning that we were driving up there for me to expose the county at a public meeting, I was more nervous than I'd ever been in my life. And I practiced every nervous system regulation tool that there possibly was. And I told my other half on the way up, I said, you know that this is preparing us for something bigger, right? And he just said, yes. I don't even know what that thing is. I don't have to know what that thing is. I just know that this is what I was supposed to do. And so I have released control of needing to know why I do the things that I do. I have just, because of this process, I will never again ignore my inner knowing. And so when it comes to different life choices now, I go inside. I am not seeking any external validation. I go inside, is this decision going to bring me peace or is it going to create more turmoil? And the day after I gave that speech, I felt 3,000 pounds lighter. And that's how I knew that I made that right decision.
That's powerful, especially in a season in which we're recording this, where we talk about peace. And the need for everybody to have peace. And right now, you turn on the news any day, and it seems like the world is in absolute chaos, right? There are dumpster fires happening all around us. And a lot of things are outside of our control, right? And we tend to look at our circle of influence, and oftentimes our eyes go to the things that are way beyond our circle of influence, right? I live in Florida, but we are two Midwestern people. And Midwestern people, we're small town America. We understand what we can control and what we can't control. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that are within our influence that I don't think we necessarily realize that could bring us peace. And our quest for peace, it doesn't mean we're trying to solve world peace and save all of the planet all at once, but we can control our own selves. Even with a lot of external things hitting us. You talked early on about how you experienced a loss as a result of alcohol abuse and how you were, in essence, losing your own life to alcohol abuse as well. There are people that experience divorce and traumatic relationships ending outside of anything that they did, quote unquote, wrong. There are people that face job loss or layoffs, even though they're in there doing the right work and things happen to them beyond their control. And we can look at it and say, "I there's nothing I could have done to prevent that." And they're absolutely right. There's probably nothing that you could have done to prevent what you went through last year. But you do have control over your response. Do you play victim or do you pick up your chin and say, "Let's move forward"? So as you move forward, you said you have this peace right now. How do you continue to navigate moving forward without just going back and bringing all that baggage with you?
It's really just learning from my lessons. And for me, practicing gratitude on a daily basis and being thankful for everything that's happened in my life. Gratitude has made such an impact because when I can be grateful for, you know, the flower over here and somebody opening up a door here, it makes my entire life and my perspective on my life that much better. And this feeling of peace has really been the thing that we're all chasing, right? And I have learned that I actually find peace through embracing my fears. So when I first started my self-development, which I didn't even know I was starting, that was when I started getting our finances in order. And I was afraid for so long to create a budget because I was afraid of where my money was going. It was going to show me what was happening. Except for once I did that, then I had control over where my money was going. And then it started filling up in the bank account. I was so afraid to quit drinking. And I quit drinking by reading a book. I was afraid to read a book because I was afraid it was going to change my life. Even though I didn't know what was on the other side of quitting drinking, but I knew I wanted to try it out. And when I did, there was peace over there. And so I keep embracing this fear. In 2022, September, And I should rewind that. In September of 21, one of my very good friends asked me if we wanted to quit our jobs, sell our house, and go on a cross-country road trip. And being the crazy woman I am, I was like, hell yes. And I expected my other half to say no and be the voice of reason, but he didn't. And he said yes. And I said, shit, that means we have to do it.
Yeah.
And that was all I needed. I was so terrified to tell anybody for 9 months what our plan was, because it took a year to make that jump. I was so terrified of what other people's judgment was going to be that I didn't tell anybody. And so, because I had to work through my own fears, am I going to make the biggest mistake for my children's lives, financially, all of these things? But it didn't matter, because everything fell into place. And the last day that I was working my job, 2 hours before I was done, and I had been at this career for 10 years, a career I loved, we got the email saying that our clinic was closing. And I just got chills thinking about this, because for the year prior, I had been thinking, am I making the worst decision in my life? And I read that email, and this complete sense of peace washed over me that I was making the right decision. And we went out on this massive road trip for 5 months, touring around the US with our kids, visiting national parks, and with our best friends. And we stayed in Airbnbs, and we came back, and we managed this campground, and we had, you know, on the other side of all of the political BS, like, we had the time of our lives, and now we're back. And it's just like, I'm so at peace, and there's still things that I'm afraid to do, but I know that it's the way. And that's what we're here to do, is to work through the things that we're afraid of and become the people that we're meant to be.
So good. So good. I want to explore this epic road trip in a minute, because I think there's so many people that are just going to be so intrigued by all of that. So hold on to that thought, but I want to go to this deeper place real quick, because I've got a question that I'm wrestling with. I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to articulate this the right way, but you are this woman who takes these leaps of faith. Like, you go based off of that gut feeling, that gut check, that heart, that I don't want to call it the emotional response, but that deep sense of knowing. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that knowing is rooted in not knowing what's to come, but just knowing that step is what's needed. You know, I picture Indiana Jones taking that step as he's walking across the bridge that he can't see, but his feet land and he's able to walk safely across. And I feel like that's how you are, that you follow that gut. However, I also know that right now you are so focused on vision setting, right? You do a lot of work with creating vision boards, for example, and putting things out there and manifesting this destiny and saying you have to have those goals, you have to have those targets so that you can pursue what's next. So I guess the question I'm wrestling with is, for those people that don't necessarily know what's on the other side, they just know what they want to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cast a vision forward when your vision is just rooted in severing the past?
It really comes down to figuring out what your values are. Because prior to me starting self-development work, I had no idea what values were. I was just living in a way that I had been taught and that my subconscious was used to. And so I did what society told me to do. I graduated high school with honors. I went to school. I got a safe job. I have a loving, supporting partner, and I've got two amazing kids. But there was still something that wasn't sitting right. One, because I was still drinking, and that wasn't a part of me. That wasn't a part of my values. I was acting in a way that didn't align with those. And so when I figured out what my values are, which, by the way, I had to Google what values were, and, you know, Google gives me a list of 50 values. And I start going through them and picking them out. And I'm like, well, I'm this at my core. I'm this, and I'm this. Okay.
How can I ask you a clarifying question? Were you able to identify what you are or what you wanted to be? And is there a difference?
That's what who I was.
Okay.
And now I just embody those values.
Okay.
And so one of those is living in integrity. One of those is being with my family and having a strong family unit. My biggest value is love and spreading that wherever I can. And how can I be a source of love even when shit hits the fan?
Right.
How can I put that in there? And so when I started checking my values with how I was living my life, those things weren't aligning, which is why I had so much stress, which is why I was staying up at night, you know, repeating the day and thinking about how the next day was going to be different. Mm-hmm. But I would wake up and do the same thing until I started making those conscious choices and leaning into that fear. And that's when I started embodying these values of standing in integrity and being at home and present with my kids mm-hmm. and spreading that love wherever I could go.
I love that. So I get to do some leadership development work with organizations and systems and executives. And we talk oftentimes about leading data and lagging data and WIGs, which are wildly important goals and things like that, which basically boils down to you create these value statements. You mentioned, I am a person of integrity, an amazing value. But then we have to follow that with, so if I am a person of integrity, what does that look like? It means I am the same person regardless of who's around. It means I don't have to hide things. I'm completely honest and transparent. It means, and you come up with your list of those indicators. And then for you, it sounds to me like you had this list of, I'm this person of integrity, and you found some things that weren't necessarily aligned. You found some mismatches. You found some things that caused some tension with your manifestation of who you were, and those became the things that either needed to change, be adapted, or cut loose. And once that happened, it freed you up to say, okay, so what are the things now that I haven't accomplished yet that allow me to do this? For example, a woman who embraces family, what does that look like? It means I'm a person that will put my family before everything else. So if that means I'm going to spend 24 hours a day with them, traveling the country, making these amazing memories, that comes before all else because that's who I am. Is that a good summation of what you just described?
Yeah, absolutely. And also going against the grain of what society tells me I need to do.
Yeah.
So and that trip really broke me of all of the rules of that society thinks, because I had to go through this huge evolution of my worth being tied to a degree and a W-2 that I had worked so hard for, that society told me was the thing that I needed to be successful. And so when we set out on this big, gigantic road trip, I went through a big old, you know, metamorphosis. Sure. And then I was like, oh, I am whole, worthy, and enough just as I am as a person without being tied to this. And had I went along with what I was played it safe, you know, what society told me I was supposed to do, I would have spent the rest of my life wondering what would have happened if I would have took that chance and went on that road trip.
That's good. That's good. So let's talk about this road trip. Because it's the epic adventure of a lifetime. Like, it's one of those things I think a lot of people say, oh, I wish I had the money and the resources to go do that. You were that person that did not have the money and the resources to go do that, but you made it happen. So I'm picturing, I don't know if you've seen the original National Lampoon's Vacation, when Chevy Chase brings the family and they're heading to Wally World, and they come up with a map and they map it across the country and they get there and Wally World is closed. But it's the adventure in between that made it epic. When you guys left home, did you know where you were going? Did you have it all mapped out, or did you just kind of just start driving?
We knew that we were headed south because okay. being in the Midwest in the wintertime, we wanted to be snowbirds sure. before we retired, which is when society says that we can go and enjoy our lives.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I call BS on that. And so we knew that we wanted to hit up as many national parks as we could, and I highly recommend those. I did not know places like that existed in the United States until I went and visited them. And so we took off, and we would map out maybe like a week or two here, like on our road trip down, but at the same time, there was a hurricane that was happening. I forget which one, but my friends, they have a house in Cape Coral. And so we wanted to get down there, but there was no set plan of what we were doing. And the road trip really released my need to have control over everything, to know how it's going to turn out. And there would be some times when we would be driving and we're still 2 hours from a destination and don't even have a place to stay. And we got a caravan of 9 people, you know, 5 kids. And some people that would just drive them absolutely insane, not knowing. But it always worked out. When we were going through Alabama, it was downpouring on the interstate, and I heard my check engine light go on, and my entire body like froze because I knew what that meant. It was the end of the life for this vehicle. And some people might think this is crazy, and it absolutely is, but I knew ahead of time that there was a chance that our vehicle was going to break down on the way because I had had some issues with it before, but I was like, we'll figure it out along the way. And so our vehicle broke down, and for about 30 minutes, I couldn't even dial AAA because my nervous system was so firing in every which way. And all I was concerned about was keeping my kids safe. And of course, then all of the judgment starts coming in of, this was the worst idea, and how could you put your family in danger and all of that? Well, our friends came, they picked up the kids, they took them to Chuck E. Cheese and bowling for the day. And I looked up on my phone, I Googled where the nearest Chrysler Pacifica van was because I had drove my friends in Florida, and I was like, this thing's got some balls on it. So I was like, I knew exactly which vehicle I wanted. And so this tow truck driver came, and again, I'm asking why, you know, and here I am already looking for the lessons, and he gets out, and this guy looks like a boy from back home, and he's got this big old straw hat on, and I'm just like, he is here to save the day. And he comes down and he bends down, and I'm like, my knight in a shining straw hat. And he took total care of us. And on our trip between where the car broke down and the car dealership, you know, I had the most genuine conversation with this guy who's never been on a vacation in his life and works literally 24 hours a day. He's on call for this tow truck company. And we have this beautiful connection. And I was like, oh, this is why the car broke down, you know, and we can assign whatever meaning we want to anything, but that's how I choose to live my life. And so we go, and 8 hours later, we have this brand new minivan that's got so much real estate on the inside compared to our former vehicle. And it's just, when I release control of needing to know how it's going to look, it allows me to be so much more present in the right now. And there's no more pressure of time, of needing to keep up with anybody, because I'm just living from the inside out.
So good. So good. You know, it's another example of, you could have blamed so many other things. You could have blamed yourself,
yeah,
right? But instead, you chose to find meaning. You chose to find influence. Your circle of influence begins with you, and you recognize that. But as you're living your life, you are influencing so many others who are seeing the model and the example of who you are choosing to be. as you think about this with the little people in your life that are looking up to you, that you got to spend 5 months on the road with, who are seeing the amazing example that you are to them and for them, what lessons do you want them to learn from you?
Those lessons have to be embracing that fear and knowing that pain is part of the journey. And I had that conversation with my son the other night that I can't protect him from all of the world, and that he can either choose to experience it, you know, things through my mistakes and my lessons, or he can go out and experience them himself. And that's, we're not here to cast judgment on that. Like, there is no failing anymore. Like, I just fully embrace all of this and to stay true to themselves. And they're not going to ever find that on the external, you know, because now that they're at the ages where they're being influenced by the outside. And I want them to know that they're always going to find the answer on the inside of them. Is this decision going to leave you feeling lighter, more expansive, or is this going to make you feel crummy on the inside? And you know it's wrong. And that's where we find our truth.
That's good. And so as you think about where you go from here, I'm curious, what is stirring on the inside of you? What is on the Amber Miller vision board for the upcoming year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years? When I bring you back on again in 2.5 years and you're telling about what happened in between, I mean, you get to create it. What is to come in the life of Amber Miller?
It's me really stepping into this and making the biggest impact I have, and bringing this story and letting people know that, again, who they've been does not have to be who they are. Like, from the beginning of this, we get to reinvent ourselves every single day. We get to make those conscious choices. Do we stay on that hamster wheel, or do we get off and start living a different way? And so it's so important for me to inject this love, this positivity into other people, because there was once a time that I didn't believe in myself and that I cast judgment against myself, because we are our own worst critics. We're the only ones standing in our way. But somebody breathed a little bit of fire into me that made me believe for a second that I could do more than what I was currently doing. And when we do that, when we go out there and we plant that seed in somebody's brain that they can go out and they can be more than what they currently are, that's how we start to heal.
That's good. That's so good. You know, when we talked last time, we spent a lot of time talking about the past and your life no longer being wasted, right? And now we're talking about your present and even your future, which I think is just it's a beautiful story that you have lived. We've talked about your circle of influence and that small, still voice on the inside of you and how you can only control what you can control. But I'm so proud that you are taking that and you're amplifying it, because your story is now helping literally people all over the world. As they hear this and they have that strength and that courage to say, I'm in control of what happens from this moment on. Yeah, things have happened to me. Things have happened to all of us. Some things that are tragic and things that I could never even begin to imagine, that I don't want to try to sugarcoat. But I do know that we get to choose from this moment on what we continue to do. So Amber, I just appreciate you so much for sharing your story, from traveling the country to having a political upheaval take place in the heartland of America, to overcoming the tragedies of childhood and even into adulthood, and just having the courage to continue to share who you are and continue to grow into that person that you know that you are, the person that you know you want to be, and following your own dreams, because they inspire people like me and they inspire so many others. You are just an absolute gift, and I am proud to know you and proud to continue following your journey. You're incredible.
You're the freaking best, Dave. Like, it is just such an honor and a pleasure to be in community with people that are out there, that are breaking the norms, that are asking the questions, that are doing the inside work. Like, I didn't know people like you existed in my old life. And the more I continue to do the work on myself, the more I attract people like you, and also the people that want to change. And you said it earlier, you know, like, America's a dumpster fire right now. The world is a dumpster fire. And it's up to all of us to go home and look in the mirror and do the work on ourselves, because that's where it starts. If we want to change anything in the world, it has to start with us. I always tell people that you can't send, you know, if there's a building on fire, you don't send a fireman who's already on fire in there to save anybody. So we have to do that work ourselves. And I am just absolutely loving this. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll have all of your contact info in the show notes. So if people want to continue to be inspired by your journey, the ups and the downs, and see how you come out on the other side, connect with her people, follow her journey, be inspired, continue to grow. She's a real person, a real human, and a real inspiration. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Lasting Learning Podcast. Want to learn more about what I'm up to? Feel free to check out lastinglearning.net or schmitto.net if you're brave enough to attempt to spell my last name. You can learn about where I'm at, what I'm doing, who I'm talking to, and who I'm collaborating with. So check it out. You can also check out one of my books. You can check out It's Like Riding a Bike, How to Make Learning Last a Lifetime. Bold Humility, How to Encourage Risk-Taking in Your School. You can check out Making Assessment Work for Educators Who Hate Data But Love Kids. Or check out my newest collaboration with Caitlin Giordano called Poking the Bear, Starting the Conversations That Need to Happen in Your School and in Your Classroom.